This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 196. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
The Super 7 is a lousy name. Batman Goes Beyond, Vampire Pirates Equal Awesome, and Wilson Taylor's Secret Origin. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 4th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League number 6 by Johns and Lee. And, of course, we have to give the splash page count, which is 4, and a double splash page count, 2.
So that means that there was one double splash page?
No, that means there were 2 double splash pages.
So actually 4 pages?
Exactly.
Wow.
So a total of 8 pages where very little actually moved forward in terms of the plot line. But they did actually manage to squeeze in some story. So it's the League versus Darkseid for the final battle. Cyborg ties into the Mother Boxes.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. We haven't really seen too much of that before where Cyborg can tie into this alien technology.
Well, and he doesn't even, I think, know what he's doing
right
at this point.
Right. He's just kind of willing it.
I really am liking his character, what we're seeing of it here. He doesn't have another book, does he?
He does not.
Okay.
So Bruce goes to Apocalypse and saves Clark from Desaad, who they're torturing him. Diana and Arthur are keeping Darkseid busy. Cyborg manages to open a boom tube, and Clark punches Darkseid into it.
Okay.
And that's one of the two splash
right
pages.
Now, going back to when they were torturing Clark,
yeah,
they said something about they were trying to figure out where Darkseid's daughter was.
Yeah.
Do we know that he has a daughter?
That's new to us.
Okay.
Cyborg manages to blow up the Mother Boxes, and now they're heroes.
Everybody loves them. Yay.
But are they a team? Are they friends? And Bruce says they should at least act like they're both. Because, quote, it'll keep the Gotham PD off my back.
Mm-hmm. He likes that.
And in the end, Flash says, we're the Super 7. And they all look at him like, no.
No, but apparently was that book that was written, you know, that they flashed to the Justice League
mm-hmm
book.
Right.
That's in continuity, right?
Right.
So it's some guy dubbing them the Justice League.
Right.
Okay.
Now, of course, when you have superheroes, you have to have supervillains. And so in the postscript, there's these two shadowy figures saying, well, we're going to have to become supervillains now. We don't know who they are. And then there's this backup Pandora story. So this is the mysterious red-hooded woman who we saw throughout the first issues of the New 52. And she apparently worked with Phantom Stranger at one point. And their job is to just observe and to not get involved. But she's apparently gotten involved. And it almost infers that she maybe started the DC reboot. That the new universe exists the way it is because of her. Now, a coworker who also reads comics says, this is the back door. This is the trap door that DC put in case the New 52 didn't work. Because they could say, oh, well, then we'll stop Pandora from doing what she did, and then we're back to issue 905 of Batman.
Well, it's possible. Maybe she's Darkseid's daughter.
That could well be. So the next issue moves us back to the current time, which is good.
Well, I just can't believe it took 6 months to get to the point where they got the Justice League name.
Well, that's...
I know it's not story time, but
right,
issue time.
But that's all because of Jim Lee, who loves splash pages. I mean, this could have been easily three issues.
Yep.
Batman Beyond Unlimited, number one, by Freidolfs and Breyfogel. So this is a new concept at DC. They are putting out these digital-only comics, and then they're bringing them together and publishing them as a paper version later. So everything that you see in this issue was published as digital in the previous month.
Oh, so it's like maybe shorter bits?
Exactly.
There? Okay.
And then they put it all together as a printed issue. And so we'll see if it sells well. So we get a Terry McGinnis Batman story where there's Joker's gangs from all over the DCU that are all coming to Neo-Gotham, which is a silly name. Someone brought up on one of the boards about, so did the city council get together and decide officially to rename Gotham City as Neo-Gotham?
Well, maybe it was destroyed again sometime and they rebuilt it and it became. So I have a question about this first story.
Yes.
Terry goes to his girlfriend's house, and or his ex-girlfriend's house.
Right.
And sees her brother there.
Yes.
And then there's another person at the back who says he's her brother.
It's the same guy, I believe.
I would have thought so, too, but they don't look very much alike, and their eye colors are different. So, excuse me, if you want it to be the same person, be consistent in coloring.
Now, I assume it's the same guy. Maybe it isn't. Maybe she has two brothers. I don't know. But I thought it's the same guy.
Well, I looked very closely at this because I didn't think they looked very much alike. And in fact, one of them had brown eyes and one of them had green eyes.
That's just the light.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's also a JLU story. So this is the Justice League Unlimited group that's consisting of either descendants of original members or, in the case of Superman, the original Superman.
But he's old.
But he's old now. Or people who are just namesakes for the original heroes. So it's a Joker's versus the Animal Kingdom, who's this mutant group who are purposely becoming mutated, basically as a fashion statement.
Splicing.
And the Justice League takes them both out.
Well, they miss the kingpins, though, don't they?
Right. So I think what's happened here is because they are having to put these out as small chapters digitally, originally, it forces things to move forward very quickly. Because you got to, in that little sub-chapter of these stories, you got to get something in for people to actually be willing to read it.
Yes.
So it moves things forward very quickly. And there's lots of classic DC references that I kind of really enjoyed. So, again, we'll see how this sells.
Did you read it online?
No.
Okay.
I figured I'm going to buy it anyway, so. The Shade, number 5 of 12. And I say 12 because it's still selling very poorly, and I'm really worried that it's not going to get to number 12.
Oh, but it is so good.
Exactly. By Robinson and Polito. So we're introduced to La Sangre, or the Blood.
I would have said La Sangre.
Okay, La Sangre. I guess. I don't know.
It's Spanish.
Spanish. But this is not her first appearance. She was in Superman number 689 from 2009 during Robinson's run on Superman.
Hmm.
So he invented the character, but she was actually seen in the pre-reboot. It was during the Mon-El period of that title. So she's the protector of Barcelona, and she's also a quasi-vampire. Meanwhile, Shade is with Caldecott, who we've already learned is his great-grandson, and he wants some of Shade's blood back when Shade still had blood. He's become this supernatural creature now that doesn't have blood. And he wants to survive by getting this blood until he can figure out what his family is doing, because apparently his family is doing these evil plans, but he can't figure out what they are. So Shade goes to see La Sangre, who has this blood collection, including Shade's blood when he had blood. And we learn in this backstory, and this is kind of a times past thing in the Starman Robinson over. So Shade saved her as a baby in 1854. They're on the ship bound for Africa, and they're attacked by Vampire Pirates.
Woohoo.
I mean, the only way you could have made that better if they were ninja vampire pirates, frankly, which maybe would have been a bit too much. So Shade takes them out, but the baby's been bitten by one of the vampire pirates, and so he sucks out the vampire blood, kind of like you're sucking out snake venom. So she doesn't fully turn into a vampire, but she has to drink human blood, or at least she prefers.
Well,
and
her parents were killed. Everybody but the Shade and this baby were killed.
Right.
So the Shade has to raise her.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she was fairly normal for a while.
Right. And then she turned, at least partially. So Lysandra considers Shade to be her father. And they end up teaming up, at least the beginning of the team up, to fight the Inquisitor, who's her archenemy. I have to ask the question, why aren't people reading this?
You know, I don't know. I would tend to believe that DC has an inherent problem in that people don't expect their secondary comics to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I think DC doesn't expect them to be very good.
Right. Yeah, they're surprised. I'm sure they're surprised, even with Geoff Johns involved in the Aquaman title, that that's doing well.
Right. And so people will read the big three or whatever. And mm-hmm. to me, those are the ones that aren't as good after the reboot. I'm really enjoying these secondary characters much more than the big three.
Everyone who's listening to this, if you're not buying this already, I order you to go out and buy this.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Order you.
Order
you know,
you
could buy a couple extra copies and
I
hand
might.
Them out.
I might start buying a couple extra copies and hand them out. In fact, that's a good idea. I might, at the very least, buy a couple of copies of the trades when they come out and
yes.
give them out as gifts.
I can think of a few people I'd like to give that to.
Yeah.
Ben.
Unwritten, number 34.5 from Vertigo by Carey, Gross, and Erskine. So this is another 0.5 issue. And we finally learn Wilson Taylor's origin. He's off to fight in France in World War I. And he sees the horrors of trench warfare, where these bodies are left to scavengers, and troops are ordered to march into almost certain death. And soldiers start to tell these gruesome stories just to take their minds off of this horrible existence. And Wilson tells this story about a bloody tower with nuns being tortured at the top of it.
And he tells it because he's testing this theory that he has.
Right. And this story spreads throughout the regiment. And then he tells this story of angels on the battlefield. And suddenly the angels appear. Now, it's unclear, at least in the shot, does Wilson only see the angels or does everyone see the angels?
Well, I think that it was pretty much all the soldiers going into battle, but the people behind the lines didn't. So it was who the story spread to.
The Huns, the Germans, are getting gassed with this terrible chlorine gas. And Wilson tries to stop them from doing it, and he ends up shooting fellow soldiers in the back. So he's court-martialed, and he's sentenced to death. And he imagines what's happened to him recently as a story. And the Leviathan appears in front of him. This is this creature that is kind of the source or somehow just the nexus of this power that the cadre has. So Wilson tells this story, just starts speaking it, where he escaped via this huge wind, and it happens. And he's blown far away, and he lands next to this nun who has also seen the Leviathan. And at this point, this is when his life totally changes, because the nun says, there is much to teach you. And this is apparently when he joins the cadre.
Or is it the cadre? Is this like the anti-cadre? Then what's going to happen is he's going to get involved with the cadre to infiltrate them later. That's what I was sort of thinking.
That may well be. But again, this is a great, great series. The 0.5 issues, despite how they're going to play havoc with databases, is a great idea. It's a way to keep the main story going while filling in all of this information that otherwise they would have had to stop the main action to do.
And if they had brought it out as a separate title, you wouldn't have wanted to buy them.
Right.
So, but they're really, I'm not going to say essential, but they really do add to the story.
Yes. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready. TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it related to the Oscars?
No.
Is it a movie that's already come out?
No.
It's a movie that's coming out?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
Mostly.
Mostly. Is it a human being on the cover?
Yes.
Okay. So it's one human being and something else?
Well, let's just call it one person.
Okay. One person on the cover. Okay. Is the movie genre related?
Yes.
Is it science fiction related?
Sort of.
Sort of. It's not John Carter of Mars, is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so it's a movie that's coming out. It's science fiction, kind of. Is it fantasy?
No.
Okay, is it detective?
No.
Is it supernatural?
No.
Is it mystery?
No.
Is it superhero?
No.
So it's science fiction, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, is it a man on the cover?
No.
Is it a woman?
Yeah.
It's a human being?
Yes.
Is it a girl?
Yes.
Okay. Is it Hunger Games?
It is, in fact, Hunger Games. Be prepared for the onslaught of the Hunger Games.
And this will probably be the... Well, I mean, it's not the first of... I think there have been
had at least three Hunger Games.
But I'm sure this is going to be every other week now. It'll be Hunger Games covers.
It will be like Twilight. It really will be.
Yeah.
So they had Jennifer, whatever her name is,
right,
who plays Katniss on the cover. But then they had all the other little supporting people and little pictures on the side. That's why it was sort of like one person, but not really.
I gotcha.
So I'm going to probably go see Hunger Games.
Okay.
As opposed to Twilight, I really did like that book.
All right, I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog and my blog. I'm just finishing up the Filmation Aquaman series and moving on to, let's say it involves Stalag 13. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email us at podcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/SFPPN, follow us on Twitter at SFPPN, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.